الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. هذا الحديث الخامس عشر من أحاديث الأربعين النووية عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت، ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره، ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه. رواه البخاري ومسلم. قال الشيخ الفوزان حفظه الله وغفر له: هذا الحديث فيه بيان بعض خصال الإيمان، لأن الإيمان له خصال وله شعب كثيرة، وكل أعمال الخير وكل الطاعات والقربات كلها من الإيمان، لأن الإيمان قول باللسان واعتقاد بالقلب وعمل بالجوارح. فالأعمال سواء كانت من أعمال القلوب كالخوف والخشية والرغبة والرهبة، أو من أعمال الجوارح كالصلاة والصيام والحج والصدقة وغير ذلك، كلها من حقيقة الإيمان داخلة فيه. وفي هذا الحديث بيان شيء منها، قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر. الأصل هو الإيمان بالله عز وجل، واليوم الآخر هو الذي هو البعث والنشور يوم القيامة، لأن من آمن بالبعث فإنه يستعد له، ومجرد الإيمان بالبعث دون الاستعداد له لا يفيد شيئا، بل لا بد أن يستعد العبد للبعث فيكثر من الحسنات ويتوب عن السيئات قبل أن يموت ويبعث. هذا وجه ذكر الإيمان باليوم الآخر مع الإيمان بالله عز وجل. وإلا فأركان الإيمان ستة كما هو معلوم، آخرها الإيمان بالبعث، ولكنه ذكره مع الإيمان بالله تأكيدا له، ولأن الإنسان إذا آمن أنه سيبعث ويحاسب ويجازى فإنه يهتم ويستعد ويقيم بقية أركان الإسلام وغيرها من الواجبات ويجتنب المحرمات. قال: فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. فإن من الإيمان بالله واليوم الآخر والاستعداد له أن يقول العبد خيرا أو يصمت، فقد خلق الله سبحانه هذا اللسان في هذا الإنسان، وعلمه النطق والبيان نعمة منه سبحانه وتعالى، ولم يجعله من الجوامد التي لا تنطق، أو من البهائم، أو من الصم والبكم المعطلين عن الكلام، بل من الله تعالى عليه بهذا النطق وهذا اللسان. وهذا اللسان سلاح ذو حدين، إن استعملته في الخير جنى لك خيرا وأثمر لك خيرا، وإن استعملته في الشر جنى عليك شرا وإثما، وذلك بحسب ما تنطق به ولأهمية الكلام. وكل الله سبحانه وتعالى ملكين عن يمين الإنسان وشماله ملازمين له يكتبان ما يقول. قال تعالى: ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. يكتبان ما يتلفظ به سواء كان طاعة أو معصية أو حتى المباح. فالآية عامة تشمل جميع ما يلفظ به العبد، فهذا الكلام الذي يصدر منك يكتب ويحصى عليه، فإن كان خيرا أثمر لك خيرا وبرا، وإن كان شرا أثمر لك شرا وعقوبة. فأخطر ما في الإنسان هو لسانه، ولذا قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: وهل يكب الناس على وجوههم أو قال على مناخرهم، في النار إلا حصائد ألسنتهم. قال: فليقل خيرا. والله جل وعلا يقول: وقولوا قولا سديدا. والكلام الخير مثل التسبيح والتهليل والتكبير وتلاوة القرآن والذكر والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر وتعليم العلم النافع والإصلاح بين الناس. كل كلام في رضا الله جل وعلا فإنه خير. قال تعالى: لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس، ومن يفعل ذلك ابتغاء مرضات الله فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما. والكلام لا يكلف كثيرا، فهو ليس مثل الصلاة ولا الصيام ولا الجهاد، فتستطيع أن تقول خيرا وأنت جالس أو مضطجع أو راكب أو ماش، فالبدن يتعب من الطاعة لكن اللسان لا يتعب من الكلام، فأشغله بما يفيدك. قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أو ليصمت، إذا لم يقل خيرا فإنه يصمت من أجل أن يسلم، فإذا سكت سلم، وإذا نطق فإن كان خيرا غنم وإن كان شرا هلك. وأكثر ما يصدر من الإنسان خصوصا مع الغفلة وضعف الإيمان كلام سيء، أو من فضول الكلام لا فائدة فيه. ولهذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله كره لكم ثلاثا، قيل وقال: وإضاعة المال وكثرة السؤال. فإن الله كره للمسلم أن يشتغل بقيل كذا وقال فلان كذا، فيحصي أقوال الناس وينشغل بها. والكلام الشر مثل الغيبة والنميمة والشتم وقول الزور وشهادة الزور، وأعظم ذلك الشرك بالله عز وجل، كأن يدعو غير الله أو يستغيث بغير الله أو غير ذلك من الكلام المحرم. كل ذلك يحصيه الله تعالى على العبد ويكتب في ديوانه ويحاسب عنه يوم القيامة. فعلى المسلم أن يكف لسانه عما لا فائدة فيه ولا حاجة إليه ليستريح ويريح. قوله أو ليصمت، لأن في الصمت راحة ونجاة، فإذا تكلمت بالكلام السيء لم تتمكن من تداركه ورده، ولكن قبل أن تتكلم فأنت مسيطر على لسانك، فيكون السكوت أفضل من الكلام غير المحمود. وهذه قاعدة اجعلها معك دائما، إذا أردت أن تتكلم انظر في الكلام، فإن كان فيه خير تكلم به، وإن كان فيه شر أمسك لسانك عنه لتسلم. ثم قال: ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره. والجار هو من يجاورك في المسكن والمزرعة والمصنع والمتجر، وله حق في الكتاب والسنة والإجماع. قال تعالى: واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب. فالجار له حق من الحقوق العشرة المذكورة في هذه الآية. ثم إن جارك أتمنك وجاورك، فلا يصدر منك في حقه أذى لا بالقول ولا بالفعل، والقول أشد وأنكى. فإنك لو أعطيت جارك أو غيره مالا كثيرا ولكنك تكلمت في حقه بكلمة سيئة، فإن هذه الكلمة السيئة تجرحه ولو أعطيته ما أعطيته من المال. أما الكلمة الطيبة فإنها تؤثر فيه خيرا ومحبة لك ولو ما أعطيته مالا. فالكلام الطيب له تأثير وله فائدة أكثر من تأثير المال. وقوله فليكرم جاره يشمل الإكرام بالقول، وهذا هو الأسهل والأنفع، أن تقول له الكلام الطيب وتسلم عليه وترد عليه سلامه إذا سلم عليه وهكذا. ويشمل الإكرام بالفعل، بأن تهدي إليه وتتصدق عليه إذا كان محتاجا وتقضي حوائجه إذا كان عاجزا وتغض بصرك عن عوراته وعن الاطلاع على أسراره، وأيضا تمسك سمعك عن التجسس عليه ولا تلقي الأذى عند بابه أو في طريقه، وتكف أولادك عن أذية أولاده وهكذا. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما زال جبريل يوصيني بالجار حتى ظننت أنه سيورثه. ذلك لعظم حق الجار، فالجوار له أحكام وأهمية بين الناس. وإذا كان إكرام الجار من كمال الإيمان فإن في أذية الجار نقصا للإيمان. ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه. والضيف هو الذي ينزل بك، وإكرام الضيف يجب في القرى والبوادي التي ليس فيها مطاعم وليس فيها محلات تبيع الأكل والشرب، وليس فيها فنادق تأوي الغريب، والمسافر وعابر السبيل، فالقرية ليس فيها شيء، وكذلك البادية ليس فيها شيء من هذا القبيل. فالإنسان ولو كان غنيا إذا كان مارا في بلد وليس فيه ما يباع أو يؤجر، من حقه على من نزل عنده أن يكرمه. أما في المدن فليس هناك حاجة لوجود المطاعم والفنادق، فإن كان غنيا فهو ليس محتاجا. أما إذا كان فقيرا فأنت تتصدق عليه لفقره وحاجته وليس لأنه ضيف. وجاء في الحديث أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الضيف: جائزته يوم وليلة، والضيافة 3 أيام، فما بعد ذلك فهو صدقة، وتمام الضيافة 3 أيام بلياليها. قال أهل العلم: الواجب يوم وليلة، وتمام 3 أيام بلياليها مستحب، وقد كان إكرام الجار وإكرام الضيف من الخصال المعروفة عند العرب قبل الإسلام، وكانوا يتفاخرون بذلك، وأشعارهم في هذا كثيرة، فجاء الإسلام وأقر ذلك وحث عليه لما فيه من الخير.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سمعتم أيها الأبناء والإخوة هذا الشرح المفصل المختصر لفضيلة الشيخ صالح الفوزان، وفقنا الله إياه وإياكم لما فيه رضاه. والحديث من جوامع الكلم لما فيه من المعاني العظيمة، وإن قلت ألفاظه، وفي مقدمة هذه المعاني معنى الإيمان بالله عز وجل الذي يطلق ويراد به الإيمان بما أنزل الله تبارك وتعالى من كتبه العظيمة على رسله الكرام لتبصيرا للأمم وترغيبا وترهيبا وتوجيها ليبصر المكلف طريقه إلى الله تبارك وتعالى. وهذه 3 الأعمال من الطرق الموصلة إلى رضا الله ودار كرامته: إيمان بالله يتناول الإيمان بوجوده، فهو الحي القيوم والأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن، وهو بكل شيء عليم. ويتناول الإيمان بربوبيته، فهو الرب المالك المتصرف في جميع شؤون مخلوقاته ومخلوقاته في سماواته وأرضه، لا معقب لحكمه ولا راد لقضائه. ويشمل الإيمان بألوهيته المقتضية لإفراده بكل عبادة مالية أو بدنية أو هما معا، ويشمل الإيمان بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العليا التي دل عليها كتابه العزيز وسنة نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم جملة وتفصيلا. قال الله تعالى: ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون. وأسماؤه دلت على صفاته العظيمة، فدل السمع، دل السميع على إثبات صفة السمع، ودل البصير على إثبات صفة البصر، ودل العزيز على إثبات صفة العزة، والحكيم على الحكمة، وهكذا بقية الأسماء التي يمكن أن تشتق من صفات كماله. فلله الأسماء الحسنى والصفات العلى التي هي من خصائصه تبارك وتعالى، كما يشمل الإيمان بالله وجوب امتثال جميع الأوامر في الكتاب والسنة واجتناب جميع النواهي أي المحرمات في الكتاب والسنة، كل ذلك داخل تحت الإيمان بالله تبارك وتعالى. وقد عرف الشيخ حفظه الله الإيمان بأنه نطق باللسان كالنطق بالشهادتين وبسائر الكلم الطيب، واعتقاد بالقلب أي ما نطق به لسانه يعتقده بقلبه، وعمل بالجوارح أي ما يعمله الإنسان بجوارحه من الأعمال المأمور بها وجوبا أو استحبابا كالصلاة والصيام وسائر أركان الإسلام وغير ذلك من كل عمل سواء مفروضا أو مندوبا، يزيد بالطاعات وينقص بالمعاصي. كلما أكثر المسلم من الطاعات المفروضة والواجبة والمستحبة ازداد إيمانه، وكلما قصر في ذلك أو ارتكب من المحرمات نقص إيمانه. والعاقل يحرص على زيادة إيمانه ويتنب ما يكون سببا لنقصانه. ثم ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد ذلك الأعمال التي هي من شعب الإيمان ومكارم الأخلاق وعالي الأمور، ومن ذلك إكرام الجار وإكرام الضيف، فإنهما من خصال الإيمان العظيمة ومن الأخلاق الطيبة، وتصدر ممن ملأ الله قلوبهم رحمة ومحبة للإحسان، لأنه يؤمن باليوم الآخر والله عز وجل سيجازيه على تلك الأعمال. وسمعتم ما مضى في الكلام على وظيفة اللسان، فوظيفة اللسان والحكمة من إيجاده لينتفع الإنسان به في شؤون دينه ودنياه، فكل كلم طيب نطق به اللسان فهو في ميزان الحسنات، وكل كلم سيء قبيح سواء يتعلق بحقوق الله أو بحقوق الخلق فهو مذموم، وسيجازى عليه الإنسان إن لم يتب ويتداركه الله برحمته. لذا وجبت المحافظة على هذا العضو العظيم اللسان واستعماله فيما ينفع ويقرب إلى الله زلفى. قال الله تعالى: إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه.
أحسن الله إليكم. يقول السائلة تقول زوجها سائلة تقول زوجها يحب استقبال الضيوف كثيرا مما يزعجها ويضايقها، لأن ذلك يأخذ من وقتهم كزوجين، فإلى أي مدى يكونان ملزمين تجاه الضيوف؟
لا ضرر ولا ضرار، يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ضرر ولا ضرار، ففي حدود الاستطاعة وعدم المشقة على الأسرة يستقبل الضيف، وإلا فالعذر مشروع عند عدم الاستعداد وعدم القدرة على الاستقبال. وقد قال الله تعالى وإذا قيل لكم ارجعوا فارجعوا هو أزكى لكم، فعذر الله عز وجل من له عذر أن يستأذن من القادم ويعتذر منه إلى وقت آخر. فهذا يعود إلى المرأة وإلى زوجها، التخطيط السليم لما فيه إكرام الضيف وفيه راحة الأهل.
أحسن الله إليكم. يقول ما هي عورة المرأة أمام المرأة، حيث إن بعض النساء هن يزعمن أن عورة المرأة من السرة إلى الركبتين. ما هي عورة المرأة أمام المرأة، حيث إن بعضهن يرين أنها من السرة إلى الركبة؟
لا، عورة المرأة إلى المرأة ما جرت بها العادة، ككشف الوجه والذراع والقدمين، وأما العورة المغلظة وما جاورها فالمرأة تستحي على نفسها أن تكشف عورتها كما هي عند زوجها وفي بيتها.
أحسن الله إليكم. يقول هناك حلوى تصنع بمناسبة المولد النبوي، فما حكم أكلها وشراءها في غير يوم المولد وكذا؟
هذه الحلوى لا تشجع، لا يشجع أهلها لا بالشراء ولا بالإعانة ولا حتى بالسكوت عنهم، فيبين لهم بأن ما كان عونا على معصية فهو معصية، والناس يحتاجون إلى البيان لأنهم ينقصهم العلم بعلوم الشريعة، لا سيما في البلد الذين أنتم فيها.
وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه، وبعد. So we have reached hadith number 16. Hadith number 16. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رجلا قال للنبي صلى عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت، ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه. رواه البخاري ومسلم. Under the authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day should speak good or remain silent. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day should honor his neighbor, and whoever believes in Allah and the last day should honor his guest. Related by Bukhari and Muslim. Then the Sheikh Abu Hatim, the Sheikh's son, read the explanation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan on this hadith, and he mentioned, Hafidhahullah, that this hadith is, or in this hadith is a clarification to some of the attributes of Iman. In this hadith is a clarification to the some of the attributes of Iman. And this is because Iman has many attributes and has many levels and branches. And all of the good and righteous actions and all types of obedience and actions which the person does in order to seek closeness to Allah, all of them are from Iman. And this is because Iman is a statement with the tongue, belief in the heart, and action with the limbs. So the actions, and whether they be from the actions of the heart, such as fear, hope, desire, and love, all of them are from the, whether it be from the actions of the limbs, such as prayer, fasting, hajj, sadaqah, charity, and other than that, all of them are from the essence of Iman. and all of them are included into iman. And in this hadith is a clarification of some of them, some of those attributes. So the Shaykh Salih Fawzan Hafidullah continued by saying, so the statement of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who he said, whosoever believes in Allah and the last day. The Shaykh said, the foundation is the belief in Allah, or having faith in Allah Azza wa Jal. And the last day is the time when the people will be resurrected and will be brought forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment. And this is because whosoever believes in the day of resurrection, then he will prepare for it. And just merely having iman in the day of the resurrection without any preparation beforehand, this does not benefit the person. But rather he should prepare himself for the day where he will be resurrected. So he would increase in doing good deeds, and he would repent from all the evil deeds that he committed before he dies and before he gets resurrected. Yes, so the Shaykh said, this is, يعني, or here, the mention of iman only and the last day. يعني iman of Allah, having faith of Allah, and the last day only is mentioned in this hadith. The Shaykh said, otherwise the pillars of iman are six. The pillars of iman are six as it is known. And the last of them is the faith of the day of resurrection. However, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned it, and he joined it with the faith of Allah for affirmation. And that because the person, if he believes that he will be resurrected and he will be held to account and he will be rewarded for that which he committed, then this person would take heed and he would care, and therefore he would prepare for himself. And he would also establish the rest of the pillars of Islam and other than them from the obligations, and he would stay away from that which is prohibited. He then, Hafidhullah, continued and he said, the statement of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُدْ. So let him say something good or remain quiet. He said, verily, belief in Allah and the last day, and it is from the belief of Allah and the last day, and from the preparation for the last day, is that the person, he says something good or he remains quiet. Yes, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this tongue in the human being, and he taught this tongue how to speak and how to clarify. And this is as يعني, a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a way of giving, showing his favor to his creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make this tongue يعني, from the objects which cannot move and cannot do anything and cannot perform any actions. Or he did not make it يعني, from the animals or from those people who are unable to speak. يعني, some people have tongues but they are unable to speak. Yes, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed his favor upon this person, and he gave him this ability to pronounce words and to say words through this tongue. The Shaykh said, and this tongue is a weapon of two ends, or two sharp ends. If you use it in khair, if you use it in goodness, then you will reap good reward, and you will eat from the fruits of this good that you have said. And if you use it in evil, then you will reap evil reward, and you will be sinful. And this is all in accordance to that which you say. And the Shaykh said, because of the importance of speech to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he allocated two angels on the right hand side and on the left hand side of the person, always staying with him, and they write that which he says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَا يَلْفَظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. He does not utter any words except that he has someone who writes for him, someone who writes everything that he says. Surah Qaf. So the Shaykh said, they write everything that the person utters. Yes, whether this may be an obedience, something which is can be considered an obedience, or something which can be considered a sin, or even something which is mubah, something which is lawful. Yes, they still write that. So the Shaykh said, this verse is a general verse, and it includes everything that the person says, everything, absolutely everything, and it is the speech which comes from the person, and they write it, and it is logged for you. Everything is written for you.
So if this or if the things you mentioned were good, then you get goodness as well. You get goodness as a reward. And if what you said is evil, then you get evil reward and you get punishment for that. So the Sheikh said, so the most dangerous part or the most dangerous limb in the human being is the tongue. For that reason, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ عَلَى وَجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ قَالَ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ وَأَلْسِنَتْهِمْ. And does anything except the tongue put the people on their faces in the day of judgment? Or upon the, يعني, their noses? Except the tongue? Is there anything else? Then the Shaykh Hafidullah comments on the part where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا. Then let him say something good. He said, Hafidullah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And say that which is good. Say that which is good. Or say that, يعني, a good statement. وَالْكَلَامُ الْخَيْرُ مِثْلَ التَّسْبِيحُ وَالتَّهْلِيلُ وَالتَّكْبِيرُ وَتِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ وَالذِّكْرُ وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. So the Shaykh said, and the good speech is like tasbih, saying subhanallah, tahleel, saying Allahu Akbar, saying la ilaha illallah, takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, recitation of the Quran, remembrance, commanding the good, forbidding the evil, teaching the beneficial knowledge, rectifying between the people, all of this speech pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If all of them, if all this type of speech pleases Allah, then it is from the good speech. It's from the khair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس ومن يفعل ذلك ابتغاء مرضات الله فسوف نؤتي أجرا عظيما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is no good in most of the secret talk, save him he who orders, except he who orders صدقة, يعني charity, or معروف, all of the righteous deeds, or يعني, conciliation between mankind. And he who does this, seeking the good pleasure of Allah, we shall give him a great reward. And the Shaykh, he continues and he says, and speech does not يعني, cost the person a lot. To speak does not cost the person a lot. And it is not like the prayer, or like fasting, or like jihad, that يعني, it burdens the person. But rather, the Shaykh said, you can say something good while you're sitting down, yes, or while lying down, or while riding something, yes, or while walking. The Shaykh said, the body becomes exhausted from obedience. The body becomes exhausted from obedience. However, the tongue does not get exhausted from talking. So occupy it with something that benefits you. Then he moved on, Hafidhahullah, commenting on a statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ, or let him remain quiet, or let him remain silent. And he said, if he does not say anything good, then he should remain silent, because this is safer for him. This is safer for him. If he remains quiet, then he is safe. As for if he utters something, then that which he spoke of, if it's good, then he gets rewarded for it. And if it's evil, he's destructed, or he's destroyed. And the majority, the Sheikh said, the majority of times, or the majority of that which the person speaks, especially, yes, with the heedlessness and with the weakness of iman, yes, so the majority of times is evil talk. The majority of time, due to the heedlessness and to the weakness of iman, or from the excessive speech that there is no benefit in. And for that, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَرِهَ لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا قِيلَ وَقَالَ وَإِضَاعَةُ الْمَالُ وَكَثْرَةُ السُّؤَالِ. So for that reason, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that indeed Allah dislikes for you three things. قِيلَ وَقَالَ, he says and she says. And wasting the money and too much questions, or asking too many questions. نعم. So indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he disliked for the Muslim to occupy himself with he said or she said. نعم. Or fulan said. So this person, يعني, he counts, يعني, or he collects the statements of the people and he occupies himself with them. And the Sheikh continues and says, the evil talk is, for example, backbiting, slandering, cursing, falsely testifying, and witnessing that which is also falsehood. And the greatest of all of that is the shirk. The greatest evil of all of that is shirk. Like supplicating to other than Allah, or seeking assistance with other than Allah, or anything else from the prohibited speech. All of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala logs it for the slave, and it is written in his log. it is written in his log or in his account. And he will be rewarded for it, or he will be accounted for this in the Day of Judgment. So upon the Muslim is to restrict his tongue from anything that which does not have any benefit and is no need for, so that he becomes safe, na'am, and the other people are safe from him as well. قَوْلُهُ أَوْ لِيَصْمُتُ يعني now commenting on the statement of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he said, or remain silent. The Sheikh further adds, and he says, this is because in silence lies comfort and salvation. This is because in silence lies comfort and salvation. So if the person speaks with evil speech, then he cannot take it back. If he says something bad, then he cannot take it back. However, before the person speaks, then he is in a state of control. Before the person says anything, he is in a state of control over his tongue. So remaining silent is better than speech, which is not praiseworthy. So remaining silent is better than speech which is not praiseworthy. And the Sheikh said this is a principle that always يعني, put in front of your eyes. This is a principle that always put it in front of you. And if you want to speak, look first at that which you're going to say. And if it is khair, if it has khair, this speech that you're going to speak with, then say it. And if it is evil, then refrain from it and protect your tongue from it so that you are safe. Yes. ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره. So who the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and whosoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him let him honor his neighbor. So the Sheikh commenting on the statement of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, and the neighbor is the one who lives beside you in your home or in your farm or in your factory or in your shop, anyone who's next to you. And he is a one where he has a right in the book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the ijma', in the consensus of the scholars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa alaihi salam, وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. Yes, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, worship Allah and join none with him in worship, and do good to parents, kinsfolk, orphans, the poor, al-masakeen, the neighbor who is near of the kin, yeah, who is a relative of the kin, the neighbor who is a stranger, the companion by your side, the wayfarer, and those slaves whom your right hand possesses. Verily, Allah does not like such as verily Allah does not like such as are proud and boastful. Naam, Surah An-Nisa. So the Sheikh, he said, so the neighbor has a right, yes, from the 10 rights which have been mentioned in the verse. The neighbor has a right from the 10 rights which are mentioned in the verse. And the Sheikh said, to add to that, your neighbor, if he trusts you with something, he trusted you and he took up a house, or he became your neighbor, he lived next to you, then you should not show anything, or he should not receive any harm or any evil from you. Yes, this whether be by way of speech or by way of action, he should not see any harm from you. And the Sheikh said, and the harm with speech is more severe. Yes, it's more severe and it hurts more. Because the Sheikh said, if you were to give your neighbor or other than him a lot of wealth, yes, but you said one evil word about him. If you were to give your neighbor or other than that a lot of wealth, but you were to say one thing evil about him, this word, this particular one word would hurt him and would scar him. And if you were to give him from the wealth, or the Sheikh said, or rather if you do not give him any type of wealth, yes, but you give him a kind and a good word, then this kind and good word would make him happy, and it would leave an effect on him, and he would love you because of this. Even if you do not give him anything as in terms of wealth. So the Sheikh said, so the good speech has an effect on a person, it has benefit more than that which the wealth can do. وَقَوْلُوا فَلُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ. And the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so let him honor his neighbor. The Sheikh said, this includes honoring with speech, and that is, the honoring with speech is easier and more beneficial. and you say to him something which is good, and you greet him, and you reply his greeting to him if he greets you, and likewise. And also includes honoring him with actions. For example, that you give him a gift, for example, or يعني you give him a charity if he was needy, and you fulfill his needs if he was unable to fulfill his own needs, and you lower your gaze from his يعني from his awrat, from his يعني honor, and also from you refrain from finding out or revealing his secrets, and also that you withhold your hearing from يعني eavesdropping on him. And you also do not throw any harm or any rubbish in front of his door or in his pathway. And you also withhold your children from harming his own children. Naam, and likewise. And the Messenger, the Sheikh continues, says, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel did not cease to advise me to be good to the neighbor. And he was advising me that I be good to the neighbor, until I thought that he will make him one of the people that inherit the person. Jibreel alayhi salam was advising me of honoring the neighbor, until that I thought he would make him one of the people who would inherit the person when he dies. Naam. And the Sheikh said, this is due to the greatness of the right of the neighbor. Yes, so being a neighbor of a person or living next to someone has many rulings and legislations and importance amongst the people. And the Sheikh said, if honoring the neighbor is from the perfection of Iman, then likewise harming the neighbor is from deficiency in Iman. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. After that, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and whosoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him honor his guest. And the Sheikh said, the guest here is the person who comes and stays in, yani visits you in your house, in the place that you live in. And honoring the guest, it becomes an obligation or is an obligation in the villages and in the desert sides, those places where they do not have any يعني, restaurants and do not have any shops which sell food and drink, and they do not have any hotels that the strange people can go to, or يعني, the one who's traveler cannot go to sleep. Yes, this is the where it becomes an obligation. So the Sheikh said the village has nothing, the villages have nothing, likewise the desert sides also do not have any of these shops and so on. So the Sheikh said, so the person, even if he was rich, yes, if this person was passing by your country, and in your country or the place you reside, there's nothing that is sold or يعني something that is rented, yes, then it becomes a right upon the person he goes to the house he goes to honor him. It's upon the person that he goes to honor him. As for in the cities, the Sheikh said, as for in the cities, then there is no need. In the cities, there's no need, because the presence of restaurants, hotels, and so on. So if the person is rich, then he is not in need. Yani the person who's a traveler or the person who's passing by, if he's rich, then he's not in need. As for if he was needy and poor, then you give him charity, naam, due to his poverty and his need. And not because he is a guest. Naam, in the cities this is. Then he continues, Hafidhullah, and he says, and it has been narrated from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, that he said regarding the neighbor, he said his reward is one day and one night. Yes? And his diyafa, yani the hospitality that you show him, is 3 days. Anything that exceeds that is a charity, is a sadaqah. Yes, and the perfection of the ziyafa, the perfection or the perfect hospitality is 3 days with 3 nights. 3 days and 3 nights. Naam. The Sheikh said, the people of knowledge mention that the obligation, yani commenting on this hadith, they say the obligation is one day and one night. Yes, and the completion or the perfection is 3 days and 3 nights. Yes, and this is recommended. 3 days and 3 nights is recommended. And the Sheikh said, and honoring the guest, rather honoring the neighbor and honoring the guest, is from the praiseworthy attributes with the Arab before Islam. And they used to boast about this. And they used to boast between each other about honoring the guest. And also, they had many poems, يعني regarding this topic about honoring the guests and hospitality. So Islam came and affirmed this attribute. It affirmed it and it encouraged it. Yes, because of the good that's in it. نعم. Like, it's permissible. It's allowed. So the Sheikh Hafidhullah, Sheikh Zayed Madkhali, he started praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe, and he sent the peace and salutations upon Muhammad and his companions and his family. And he said, you have heard, O dear brothers and my sons, that you have heard the explanation which is detailed and is summarized by the virtuous Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan. May Allah grant him success and you as well. And he said, this hadith is from the most comprehensive speech. Yes? Because of the great meanings that is included in this, in the wording of this hadith, although the words of the hadith are few, yes. And in the first, on the foremost of the meanings, or the best of meanings in this hadith, is the clarification of the meaning, having faith in Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, having faith of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And the Sheikh says the intent behind the faith here is to have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which he revealed from his books upon his noble messengers to enlighten the nations and also to make them desire that the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to fear his punishment and also to guide them or guide the person who is obliged to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh said those three actions which are mentioned in the hadith are from the paths that leads you to faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh said faith in Allah, this is the meaning of this is having the belief in existence of Allah. Yes, and he is the one who knows everything. He knows everything that preceded and everything that is going to happen. He knows everything that is apparent and everything that is hidden subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also to have belief in his lordship, that he is the king and the owner and the one who deals with all of his creation. He has the complete and absolute dealing with his creation in the heavens or in the earth. And it also includes the affirmation or the belief in Allah's worship, that the person, he singles out Allah in all types of worship, whether to do any type of worship which is financial type of worship or to do with the or physical type of worship. And also to have belief in the beautiful names and lofty attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified in general sense and in a detailed sense. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. And to Allah belongs the best of names, then supplicate to him with them. Yes? And leave, or stay away from those who disbelieve in his names. And the Shaykh said, the names of Allah, they are evidence to his attributes, his great attributes. For example, the name As-Sami' and the name or the attribute As-Sami' or the name As-Sami' rather is an evidence or can derive from it the attribute of hearing. Nah? And likewise Al-Basir, the all-seeing, you derive from this attribute the name or you derive the attribute As-Sam'. Yes, and from the name Al-Aziz, the one who is almighty or dignified, you derive from this the attribute of the Al-Izzah. And likewise Al-Hakim, the all-wise, you derive from this name the attribute of the wisdom. So, and likewise the Sheikh said, the rest of the names which are taken from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ones which are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, having faith in Allah, yes, having faith in Allah also includes the obligation of following all of his commandments and staying away from his prohibitions in the book or in the sunnah. And all of this is included in the word al-iman billah, having faith in Allah. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah, he clarified, referring to Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, he clarified that the iman, or the meaning of iman, is that you speak a statement of the tongue, and this is the testimony, al-shahada, and all type of good speech. Naam. So the first one is statement of the tongue, the second one belief in the heart and action of the limbs. And this one means that the person, everything that he does from the actions which have the person is commanded to do, Yes, and it's obligatory for him to do all the actions which are recommended. Like, you have, for example, he said you have Arkan al-Islam, the pillars of Islam, and he also said that this iman increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience. Naam? And the person, the more the person increases in obedience, then his iman will increase. And the more he neglects fulfilling the obedience and the worship of Allah, his iman will decrease as well. And the intellectual person, he will preserve, or he will make sure that he does that which increases his iman, and he stays away from that which decreases his iman. Then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the actions which are from the branches or from the levels of iman, and also from the best of etiquettes, and from that is honoring the neighbor and the guest, because these two actions, or these two attributes, are from iman and from the good manners and etiquettes, and it is carried out by a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled his heart with mercy and love, and love for kindness, because he believes in Allah in the last day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for these actions. And you have heard the Sheikh said that the occupation of the tongue, and what the tongue should be used for, and the wisdom behind it. And the wisdom behind it is to benefit from it, or use it to benefit with anything to do in this life, and the matters of this life and the matters of the religion. So everything that is good, then it is in the scales of the good deeds. And the opposite is true as well. Everything that a person uses his tongue with and he says that is evil, then it will be in the scales of the evil as well. So if the person does not repent from the evil statements, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for this, or he'll punish him for this. So for that reason, the Sheikh said, therefore, you have to, or it becomes an obligation to protect, yes, this great limb of yours, and to use it in that which brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ يَرْفَعُهُ. To him ascends the good speech, and the good action, he raises it. Now, so the Sheikh was asked that what is the boundary, or what is the principle in honoring the guest? As some women, for example, they complain when a guest comes to the house because she cannot spend a lot of time with her husband. So a lot of guests coming. So what is the ruling, or what is the principle here? يعني, where is the boundary? So the Sheikh said, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. Yes, you do not cause harm, and harm is not caused to you as well. So you do not cause harm to each other. So the Sheikh said, the boundary is according to the ability. The boundary is according to the ability, and not causing hardship upon yourself. So you honor the guest when they come to you. And if you're unable, if you have an excuse, then the excuse is accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوهُ وَأَزْكَى لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if it is said to you, go back, يعني when you go to visit someone, when it is said to you, go back, then go back. It is pure for you. And so the Sheikh said, so the one who has an excuse and cannot honor the guest, then he has to excuse himself and tell the person and apologize to him. And this is, it goes back to the urf, to the norm of the people. Yes, and the Sheikh said, so it is according to the man and the woman how they can deal with it, and how they can they come to agreement between them. So, and it's according to the ability. This question says that what is the awra of the woman in front of the other woman? Because some people, they claim that the awra of a woman in front of another woman is from the belly button to the knee. Yes, that's what some women claim. So the Sheikh said, the awra of the woman in front of another woman is according to the tradition and to the norm of the people. Yani, for example, showing the arms, the face, the hands, and those parts. Yes. As for the awra mughallada, the major type of awra, then no. The woman should be shy of this, to show this in front of other women. The woman should be shy. So this is not the awra. The awra is the arms, the face, the two hands, the two feet, and so on. Naam? Not the major awra. The last question says that there's a type of sweets, this type of sweets that some people make, on the day that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, and they give it to the people and they sell it to the people. What is the ruling in this, or what is the ruling in buying this type of sweets and desserts? The Sheikh said, these types of desserts and sweets, it is not to be encouraged. It is not to be encouraged by way of buying, selling, or helping to make. You do not make any of this. Yes? And even you do not remain silent about this. You tell the people that anything which aids the person to disobey Allah or to fall into sin, then it is a sin itself. Anything that leads you to sin, then it is a sin itself. Especially the Sheikh said, in the country that you live in, a lot of people do not know. A lot of people do not know. They do not have any knowledge of this. So if they do not have any knowledge of this, you clarify for them. You clarify for them that anything which leads to sin is a sin itself. So you do not help the people, you do not cooperate and aid them in committing a sin. So the Sheikh said, this is not to be encouraged. And also, just lastly, before we begin the prayer, I would like to say that the Masjid of Dar al-Sunnah, we are free from that which has been ascribed to us, that we have mentioned or we have said that the awrah of a woman is between the belly button and the knee. Yes? So just to clarify that we are free from this. We have not said this, and this is why we asked the Sheikh to clarify our stance, to clarify what is the awrah of the woman and what we hold to be the awrah of the woman in front of another woman. So this is just to clarify. And we are free from those who ascribe to us that we said, or that we agree that the awrah of a woman is from the belly button to the knee. We have not said that. Barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.